Reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Let us read together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, told his followers, as recorded in Mark's Gospel, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And Luke, in his account, emphasizes the word daily. It's a daily commitment, a daily cleansing that we need. It's not on our terms, but Christ's. It's not our agenda, but his. And as the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." As we prepared for worship this morning, what was the main thing on your mind? Individually, what were you thinking about? What were you asking God to do as you came to worship? That hymn we've just sung, "Speak to me by name, O Master. Let me know it is to me." Was that our prayer? Was that our desire? Was that our want, that Jesus would speak to me as an individual as to what he wanted in my life? There are times we long for God to speak. But sometimes we have that mentality, "Lord, that's a good word for him or her. Or see that person at the front of the church? It's for them." But we don't ask God, "What do you want to say to me? What does God want to say to you, to me, this morning?" And that's maybe an answer. I don't know. So I hope you're listening. Why was the early church effective? And how then did the early church grow? We remember those words that Jesus spoke to Peter, where he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's in my authority. that I've been given, and I certainly will build my church. And this is part of Christ's church, and he wants to build it. He wants to build each individual person to be able to go and share the gospel, the good news that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them, and that Jesus promises to come again and take those who know him and love him to be with him in heaven. Yes, we can look around the world today, even this country today, and note that the building program that Jesus has put in place was at times exciting and rapid. And yet we look at other churches and we see them struggling. We see them being unexciting and slow in progress. Churches which are in the crest of a wave, they're full, they're overflowing, and others which are half filled and less. God is moving. Do you believe it? I'm glad you agree with me. God is moving. And we can either be comfortable, complacent, or challenged to do greater things. Those are the three options. We can sit here and be comfortable. I like the singing. I like my friend, I'm sitting next to you. Be comfortable. Complacent. Nothing to do with me. I'll just come here and enjoy myself. Or we can be challenged to do greater things. Sadly, someone has said, is in modern churches, it's hard to know if people want a pastor or a spiritual concierge. Every member in God's church, every member of the body of Christ has a ministry to perform. And that means you have one and I have one. Have you discovered what your ministry is? Have you asked God to show you and help you to see what he wants you to do? To see what's happening in your life, in other lives, we need to get back to basics. Luke reminds us in Acts chapter 2 how those early Christians worked through their faith with effectiveness. They devoted themselves to the apostles' preaching, teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. I wonder how dedicated we are regarding those issues. What did it mean when Luke said they devoted themselves? Nothing other than giving themselves wholly to what God wanted them to do. In obedience, in following him, in doing what he wants, no complacency, in love. And the moment you receive the love of Christ in your heart, in your life, you forfeited the right to choose who you would love. There's no option. We don't have an option. God tells us to go into all the world and to share his gospel. Not just the people that we like, the people whose faces we like. We are to share that love with everyone. Forgiveness is the final act of love. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And many people in the church today, we will come across those who ridicule us, who don't like us, but we're asked to forgive them, to love them, to hold them up in prayer before God, to be faithful. And we're asked to consecrate ourselves to Jesus and his gospel. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. And that's where men and women need to be led. You were led there once. As God captivated and captured your heart, and as you bowed at the cross and said, Father, forgive me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And if you need to do it, then other people need to do that too. But we need to love them into the kingdom. We need to be faithful in sharing the gospel. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, you remember that when Luke wrote those words, at that particular point in time, Saul had not become a Christian. He was still breathing out threats against those Christians. And today, we will face our persecutors, our souls, in the community, in our workplace, even in our families, who don't like what we're doing. And in their own way, they'll persecute us. Remember, that's what the early Christians had to face. And they came through that, knowing that God was with them. God would bless them. God would help them. You say they taught Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ coming again. That was the mandate that they were given. Their teaching was that Jesus Christ was crucified, who shouldn't have been, but because of your sin and my sin and their sin, he took it upon himself, their sin on the cross. There was a need for forgiveness, and that's how God showed the world that need. Forgiveness seems a good thing to do until we have someone to forgive. Christ, and because of his resurrection power, we are guaranteed the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless you. You shall receive. You might receive. You shall receive. It's a positive statement. I know that this building may be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, where he flows through every life, where he motivates every person, where he challenges every life, where he sends us out with that power to share his love, his forgiveness, and his holiness, and that Christ would come again. Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ coming again. The Spirit's power enables us to live for Christ and serve Christ until he comes. Martin Luther, one of the great reformers, said, "We should live as if Christ died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow." Always living in that mindset that Jesus may return. We don't know when Christ will come back, but he may come tomorrow. You see, there's no room for complacency in the Christian life. No room for complacency. And that's what we need to guard against. For that is what the enemy wants. He wants us to be complacent. He doesn't want us to be challenged to do something. He says, if I can keep them in that attitude, I've won. But we are on a march for God to do his will, to see his kingdom being built in this community, to see people come to find faith. And we give God thanks for those who found faith on Friday and Saturday. And I can say this, some people who come to this church found faith on Saturday. Isn't that good? We give God thanks for that, because he's on the move. And we have to make up our mind, do we want to move with God? I hope you'll say yes to that. The fellowship, what does that comprise of? Various things. Quickly run through them. Unity. They're all together in one place, waiting for one thing, the Holy Spirit that was promised to come upon them. Oh, that we might know what it means to wait. In expectancy. Have you ever waited in expectancy? You fathers, waiting for your card, your gift this morning? Has it come yet? Oh, no. Well, I'm sure it'll come sometime. But let's wait in expectancy for God's Holy Spirit. He's on the move. He wants to challenge us. He wants to change us. He wants to motivate us. Are you willing to be motivated? And honesty. The fellowship were honest. The writer of the proverb says, an honest witness tells the truth. And William Shakespeare, I know he's not in the Bible, but he said this, no legacy is so rich as honesty. Listen to that. No legacy is so rich as honesty. Honest before God. We have to be honest before God and honest before each other. Sometimes I find it difficult to be honest before other people. I don't know if you do. But I need to be honest before God. Why? Because God can see my heart and my life. He knows what I think. I can't hide anything from him. And therefore, I need to be honest before him as I ask for his forgiveness. To service, it would not be right to neglect the ministry of the Word of God. Brothers, choose 7 men full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Each individual has their skills, their gifts, their talents. And that includes you. Did you know you've got a gift and a talent and a skill? It might be playing football, I don't know. But you've got a bigger talent than that, that God's given to you. And God wants to use it in your life. But will you let him? Open my heart, Lord. Open my eyes. Let me see Jesus. And as we see him, he fills us to overflowing. And the breaking of bread. Does the breaking of bread refer specifically to communion? Sitting around the Lord's table, having fellowship. Or more generally, to shared regular meals. Probably both. There's a concept where the early Christians met together in each other's homes, where they had meals together and then shared the Lord's Supper after that meal. Oh, how amazing it is when Christians come together for fellowship and they share a meal together. And at the end of that meal, they remember him whom they were fellowshipping with. And they share the Lord's Supper. As a church, we need to get back to basics. Fellowshipping together, not just round the Lord's table, in each other's homes, eating a meal, giving thanks, praising God, and then celebrating that God whom we've been with, remembering what he's done for us on the cross, fellowship and sharing his body and blood, symbol of it rather. Recognizing the oneness and keeping in the forefront of our minds the centrality of Christ's sacrifice, and yet never forgetting it's only until he comes. Doesn't that excite you? It's only till he comes. But are you ready for that day when Christ returns? Will he call you home? Do you have that certainty? And it denotes friendship and intimacy, as gleaned in the passage that Luke records in the Acts of the Apostles, or rather Luke in his Gospel, the Emmaus Road. Those two disciples, disturbed, uncertain, unsure, discussing what had happened, and this stranger comes along. They didn't know him, didn't recognize him. But it was only as he invited himself into their house, let me stay with you. And as he opened the word and broke bread, then their eyes were opened. And as God speaks into our lives with those things, he also asks us to pray. Prayer was an integral part of their lives, in family, in private, in public. Remember, the time spent in prayer is never wasted. I don't know how many people have heard of Praying Hyde, missionary to India, who took God's command to Isaiah in 62 and verse 6 and 7 and made it his personal prayer. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You'll call on the Lord. Give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Commit yourself to praying. A prayer a day keeps the devil away. Surrounding ourselves in prayer, knowing that intimacy that wants us day by day to call upon the name of the Lord to bless us, to chastise us, to keep us on track. Daniel Defoe, in his famous poem, The True Born Englishman, wrote these words: whenever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel there, and 'twill be found upon examination the latter has the largest congregation. Take those words in and let's commit ourselves to reverse that whole thing, that the church, that Jesus will have the largest congregation. It's been said about praying Hyde, regarding his behavior, that Hyde missed meals, missed meetings, missed preaching appointments, but he never missed meetings with God in prayer. That was his desire. I'll go without food. I'll go without meeting people. I'll go without preaching. But I cannot afford to go without meeting my God. This nation, I trust you'll agree with me, is needing to be spiritually revived, revitalized. And only a church which is in touch with the pulse beat of God can begin to exert an influence which will count. And this morning, God calls us to be part of that church, a body on the move, a body willing to be motivated, a body willing to follow. But how will we respond? The future can either be static and uninteresting or unpredictable and exciting with the living God in the midst and in control. Where do you want to be? Jesus said, I will build my church. Only the other day, I came across part of my father's diary in which he had written in the early 1960s, the first turf was taken out of the ground where we were going to build the Elam Church. And that was a starting point for him, in a sense. Because as he got working on that building project, volunteers, the minister of the church came and visited our home. And I can remember it well, because he said to my father, "Are you a Christian?" My dad said, "I think so." And Richard Lighton turned to him and said, "Well, you're not. You either know or you don't know. You don't think so." And that was the day my dad became a Christian. He gave his life to the Lord. And I was only early years at that time. But what a difference I saw. A man on fire for God. And that can happen to us all. The Holy Spirit can come down and fill our souls and fill our lives and enable us to be in fire for him. But the choice is yours. God bless you. Father God, bless us this morning. Let your Holy Spirit fill each and every life in this place. Touch us till we're overflowing with your love, your forgiveness, your holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.